Welcome to Modern Musings, conversations with the maiden, mother, and crone, looking at ourselves and the world through the lens of the 21st century. Hello, and welcome back. I'm your hostess, Kristen, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Amber and Cindy.
Hello. Hello.
If this is your first time joining us, we're glad to have you here, and if you're returning, then welcome back. Today, we are talking about The Wizard of Oz versus Alice in Wonderland. So, kind of like if you joined us, I think last season, we had a Harry Potter versus The Hobbit, I think. And I think we did like a Marvel.
No, for Lord of the Rings. It was Harry Potter versus Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, my
and
bad.
And we had Star Wars versus Star Trek. And we've done Coke, Pepsi, or Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
So, now we're going to pick apart two of my favorites. So The Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland. Both girl gets kind of like swept up into another
alternate reality or alternate universe. There's debate.
Dreamland.
There.
If you haven't seen either of those, then where the heck have you been all this time? If you haven't read either of those, I highly recommend because the movies and cartoons don't do them justice. Totally different stories when you actually like read them. Different experience completely, I think.
Yes.
So I'd like to see what we have to say about the two. I'm pretty sure I know like what's everybody's favorites, but
do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to know?
Do you? Okay. Yeah. You can guess mine.
Wizard of Oz for Cindy and Alice in Wonderland for Amber.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I love Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
But I grew up with Wizard of Oz.
I mean, I don't know if I have a favorite over the two. I would have to say, actually, I probably like Wizard of Oz more.
Huh. Really?
But
wow.
I do love Alice in Wonderland.
I love Alice in Wonderland, too. But I can tell you exactly the first time I saw The Wizard of Oz. And my mother was like, you need to come watch this movie. You need to come watch this with us. And it came on primetime television. Mm-hmm. We had a color TV. It was probably pretty, well, I think we had a color TV. I'm assuming we had a color TV. But it was pretty new. And my mother remembered The Wizard of Oz from when she was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was, you know, that movie was made in 1939, I believe. And my mother had a love for it. So she insisted that I come watch it. And I was probably like 4 years old, maybe. And, or maybe even three. But I remember distinctly watching that. I remember the house we lived in when it came on. I know where the TV was, everything. And I remember that first time that I saw it because it was magical and I was transported away just like Dorothy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I probably feel the same way. I do love Alice in Wonderland, and they're both very kind of similar in a sense where it's a young girl that gets transported to a different time, a different place. And I would say that growing up, Alice in Wonderland was probably more my favorite, but now that I'm older, definitely Wizard of Oz, because I've just studied it so many times and I love all the adaptations to it. Mm-hmm. Especially dystopian adaptations to Wizard of Oz. And I just recently read a book that was a romance adaptation to Wizard of Oz. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
So what was that called?
It was called Wretched by Emily McIntyre, the Never After series.
Okay. I remember seeing that and was not aware that that's what that was. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And
probably not your thing.
Well, probably not.
But I mean, I think it's pretty cool. It was probably in that whole series, that's probably my favorite book in the whole series. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, who would have guessed that I would have liked Wicked, not the musical, the book.
And right,
so,
right.
You know, and book. I love that. So
that's probably what gave my new renewed interest in Wizard of Oz.
That Wicked is probably what it's probably my favorite adaptation of it. I liked The Wiz too. I thought that was great. It was well done, but I think Wicked, the book, not the musical, was my favorite adaptation of that story.
I loved the musical, but I want to say...
Oh, I'm not saying I Wicked didn't like the musical, probably, but it's completely different.
Yeah.
As we know.
I like the whole idea of the Wicked Witch having a completely, you know, having an actual story.
Right.
And
there's a reason why they...
I was actually reading a thing about Wizard of Oz the other day, and the reason the Wicked Witch... when they filmed it, didn't have as much screen time is because her costume was so hot and her makeup was so hot that the actress couldn't be in it.
Right, right. And there's a lot of stories involving the makeup. The Tin Man
actually, the original guy was Buddy like Epson. Poisoned.
Yeah. He was allergic to the makeup that they used on the Tin Man,
So they got another guy to do it, and they basically like...
Ray Bolger.
They just made him get also Jack Haley.
Jack Haley. Why was it Ray Bolger?
That's Scarecrow.
Oh, that's right. You're right. I knew that
But
name.
Yeah, like the silver, it was like a powder that was actually like silver.
Had metallic silver in it, yeah.
And it like poisoned him.
Yeah.
But basically like they were like, okay, you can't act anymore, so they fired him. Because he was sick, and then they got the other guy, and they were like, this is poisonous, but you have to wear it, too.
Yeah.
And he got sick, too, and, like, he actually, like, almost went blind because he got some of it in his eye.
Yeah. There was some weird stuff. Yeah. And like, the Margaret Hamilton had...
She, like, almost burned to death. Like,
yes.
She had, like, third-degree burns.
Yes.
And then they were like, okay, come back, and we're going to do another scene where we do the same thing. And she was like, nope. And so they had to get a stunt double to do the second. Yeah, they were like, yeah, we're just going to burn you again because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They actually like way overworked them.
Crazy boop.
They way overworked them in The Wizard of Oz. Like, yes. They worked really long days. Did you like the lion? His costume was actually like a real lion skin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like crazy. An actual lion skin. Yeah. They had to wear. You know, they didn't have like air conditioning and stuff like that either. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is 1939,
and,
you know?
Yeah. Yes.
So that was your childhood and your mom's childhood. Mine and Kristen's childhood was actually Return to Oz.
Oh,
that came out when we were kids.
Is that the one? That's not the one that is animated.
No.
That's the one where she's in the asylum.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I love that one.
When I looked at that, because, you know, that was the thing. They kept telling her she was just dreaming. She's just dreaming. You know, it was just a dream. She got hit on the head, whatever. And you think, okay, whatever. But if you go on, you know, like you said, that in that story, it's like, wow, this took a really dark turn. Now, I never read any of the other books, the L. Frank Baum books. Mm-hmm. I never read anything except the original Wizard of Oz, which is a very different story. Well, I say it's very different.
It is.
It's different. Yeah. It was a children's book, you know. But so I don't know. Is that part true to the story that he told?
I've only read the first one.
Okay. So the Return to Oz is supposed to be, I believe, the second and third book.
Okay. So she actually did go to the asylum?
I haven't read the books, it's supposed to be the second, I believe, the second and third book.
Okay.
Yeah, that's on my bucket list of things.
To read all the books.
Funny thing is, I'm not one to like have like bad dreams or scary nightmares. The Titanic, I remember having a bad dream after I saw that movie, because that was a fantastic, emotional movie. And I had a bad dream when I read The Wizard of Oz. Like, the witch in the book, I thought was far less scary than the one in the movie. Like, I mean, she really wasn't scary, but I'm sure back then that was about as scary as they could make it. But I mean, she wasn't like horrible to me. She was Disney bad, you know?
Right.
But I remember like having a dream after reading that book one night, like waking up in the middle of the night, like,
right,
like a nightmare.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. So I would be curious to know, though, if that was because, like I said, it took such a dark turn. And obviously, Alice in Wonderland, you know, we're comparing the two. There are some dark parts of it as well. You know, they can be scary for children. You know, the Red Queen, the Queen of Hearts is like
going around saying off with their
heads. Off with their heads. And, you know, there's. Yeah, there's a lot of kind of dangerous things in Alice in Wonderland. Now, I've seen a couple of different variations of it. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites, of course, I love the Disney animated one, you know.
Yeah.
I actually did not see it until I was much older. But as an adult, there was a made-for-television miniseries.
That one's my favorite.
And that one is probably one of my favorites. And it actually has the poem, The Jabberwocky, in it, and, you know, other things. And it has some more dark, you know, it takes a little more dark turn than the original Disney. Of course, Disney, you know, they're not going to make it really dark, but...
I'm trying to think of that one, because there's a couple of versions made for TV, but the one that was it, was that in the 80s?
I believe it was, yes.
Or I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, like kind of early, mid-80s, I think.
1985.
Okay.
And so that one had, I'm trying to think of all the people that were, they pulled out a lot of famous
yeah,
people. Ringo Starr was the first one I could think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, there was a lot of actors and actresses that you probably don't even know who they are. And I'm trying to think, Steve Allen, I think, was in it. Oh, what is her name? I think her last name is Channing.
Carol?
It's Carol Channing. I wanted to say Stockard, but...
Oh, Roddy McDowell.
Yes. Oh, my. I cannot even think. The White Queen. Oh, what was her name?
Scott Baio was in it, too.
Oh, okay. Don't whisper. Say
that
out loud.
The White Queen. I'm trying to remember. She was the chess piece, right?
Yes.
Ooh. Gosh.
Well, look through the names.
I'm looking.
See, I need to look that because
Carol Channing is the White Queen and Anne Jillian is the Red
Queen.
Anne
Jillian, that's her name. I kept wanting to say Jill something. Yes.
So also, Bo Bridges was in it and, John Stamos.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people. I don't even know who they are.
I probably would, but I don't have it. I don't have the list in front of me,
Robert
Axelrod. It was a huge cast of characters and it was really well done. I loved that one.
It was longer, too. I felt like that one was because it
well,
was
because
made for
TV. Well, because it didn't just do her first trip to Wonderland. You know, it was her first, and it was Alice in Wonderland and Alice Through the Looking Glass, I believe.
Yes.
And so it was a little more detailed, and like I said, a little less, I don't know.
I think the story was a little bit more for older kids.
Yeah.
Whereas like the Disney one was because it was very cartoony. There were the little riddles and stuff, but they were very kiddish. Yeah.
Right. So, which one you guessed our favorites? Which one is your favorite?
Oh, The Wizard of Oz for sure.
Oh yeah, I knew that. But
yeah,
and the reason I can say that is because Kristen watched it so many times when she was a little kid that at the age of like 4, she could recite all the lines from the movie. And whenever she had a Halloween costume for years, she was one of the characters many times over. You've been a scarecrow. You've been Dorothy. She's been the witch. She's been the lion, because you dressed up like a lion for Becky for some dance performance or recital-y thing or something. I don't remember what it was. So, yeah.
Dang, I just haven't been the Tin Man. I should do that sometime.
You should. That would be good. Yeah.
So what's your favorite scene out of The Wizard of Oz?
My favorite scene. That's really hard. Probably.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Yeah, I do love that part.
I do like that. I like where they see the
oh, the Munchkin Land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the Munchkin Land. Welcome you to Munchkin Land. But I also like the scene in black and white, the original beginning of the movie or early part of the movie where Dorothy sings Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Mm-hmm. Because I always thought that was the most beautiful song. And I just loved that part. I did. And I love that song. And I thought Judy Garland was just breathtakingly beautiful. So I always liked that part. And I liked the part when they came to the Emerald City, because I thought the Emerald City was really pretty.
It was kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool looking. So, yeah.
So I like the part where the trees get mad.
Oh.
Oh, no. And they're throwing the apples.
Throwing the apples, yeah. The rotten apples.
Okay. Gosh. I like all of it. Like, yeah. That's probably the Munchkin Land.
Yeah. Scene. Munchkin Land is probably the most,
that was the most magical part of
it. It was, the surreal.
Yeah, because
it was the most surreal part, yeah. Because it, you know, they're living in these tiny little houses and mushrooms and it just looked
eggs.
Yeah, looked unreal, you mm-hmm. know. And so that was kind of a really
and it looked unreal for
set.
Her too, like she's right. Like wandering around like, where the heck am I?
Right. I have a feeling.
So that scene is actually really cool, because I believe they started filming in black and white and then Technicolor became available, and yes. Then they just were like, this is perfect. Let's switch it over.
That was the way I understood it as well. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
And that's like, I don't know. It makes it kind of cool. Like,
yeah, totally. It does that whole switch from the black and white to color. And
I love the whole scene. Like, so the woods and stuff, because it looks like a play. The way the scene in the background, it's like you can tell there's a backdrop there.
Right.
It kind of fades into.
It looks painted.
Yeah, it does. It looks like a painting, yeah. And it's very creepy. Like,
well, it probably
especially
was painted.
The where they get to the part where the witch lands on the house.
Oh, yeah.
And she, like, threatens them. Uh-huh. That part's, like, super creepy. I like that part of the movie, too. And it looks really creepy, because it looks like it's getting kind of, like, to dusk at that point.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I just imagine like all the work that went into building that scene, because there's no CGI or anything in that movie.
Right.
So
it didn't exist then. Yeah.
Yeah. And those shoes have a lot of sparkle on them.
They're
seen
gorgeous.
Them in person.
They're really pretty.
Yeah.
They are really pretty. Yeah. Even it's amazing to me that Technicolor could capture that sparkle.
Yeah, because it really did sparkle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
Even Glinda's dress was very sparkly,
too. I always
too.
Thought Glinda was...
Her crown was pretty crazy.
She was
looking.
Very pretty, yes.
What's your favorite scene? did you say already?
No, I said it was the Munchkin Land.
Yeah.
Scene. Oh, okay,
did you have
okay,
a favorite character?
Oh, my favorite character. Oh my gosh. Probably the Tin Man, probably.
Really?
Okay. Mine's a Scarecrow.
Mine is the Scarecrow as well, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember crying in the scene, you know, like when they find out that they really had a heart and they really had a brain. And and when she's saying goodbye to them and she tells the Scarecrow, I think I'll miss you most of all. Mm-hmm. So it was always really sad for me. So, yeah. Who do you think was more evil, the Wicked Witch of the West or the Queen of Hearts?
The Cheshire Cat.
Or the Cheshire Cat.
He was my favorite character in Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
Or him and the bunny.
Okay.
I'm late.
The March Hare. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, those were my two favorite.
So, I mean, the Queen of Hearts, she's just, you know,
angry and entitled.
She's entitled. The Wicked
Witch
of the
West. But she kills people for just not.
For no reason.
For no reason.
I mean, at least the Wicked Witch of the West, she had like very good reason to be mad.
She was mad because
her sister got squished and then her shoes got taken from her.
Right.
You know?
So, yeah, probably the queen would be more evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I have to agree there. I do. She's definitely less justified. And, of course, you know, after reading Wicked, then you see the Wicked Witch in another light as well.
Oh, yeah,
because
to me, that's totally canon.
Yeah.
Wicked is canon to me.
No wonder she was so mean.
Yeah. I feel like Gregory Maguire and L. Frank Baum, like, are both writing the same universe. Like, they go together.
I love that.
So, the thing about, like, The Wizard of Oz is, like, everybody is actually trying their best.
Yeah.
In The Wizard of Oz. But in Alice in Wonderland, like, literally, he's like, we're all mad. Everybody's mad. Like, nobody was trying to be better in Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. And actually, like, the characters in Alice in Wonderland are kind of infuriating because they're all selfish.
Right.
Nobody stops to help or explain things. They're just like, well, if you don't know, then...
But that's the perspective of Alice as a young child. You know, she's like, why do I have to do these things? Why do I have to do these things?
Right.
Because she's such a young child and people, you know...
They treat her like a child.
They treat her like a child.
But they also did that to Dorothy, too.
Yeah. I mean, well, in the real world, yes, they did. That's why, you know, go away. We're busy. We don't have time for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
literally what happens to both Alice and Dorothy. The adults are like, we don't have time for you, go away. And that's how they kind of fall into where they are. Well, sort of. I mean, more for Alice because she kind of like wanders off and finds herself in trouble. But
yeah, well, Dorothy ran away, but then she changed her mind.
Mm-hmm. And it was too late when she came back. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah, the insanity of everyone in Alice in Wonderland is probably the same reason why I didn't like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory growing up, because all of those kids were bad.
Yeah.
And
I get it. Yeah. Like, you have no tolerance.
The misbehavior
for that,
was
for the
tolerated, and I can't tolerate that. It just drove me crazy.
Right.
And I think that's what's frustrating. And
I have the same feelings towards those, you know, because I was raised that you don't behave that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, they got what was coming to them.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's true.
That's the whole point of all that is they were bad.
But the
they
thing,
got what was coming to them.
Yeah. The thing is, though, that like with Alice, she kind of was naughty, too. And she wandered off chasing the rabbit or whatever, or she fell asleep. I don't remember what it's been a long time since I read that one. So, but, you know, she kind of didn't deserve, She was just, I mean, she was like a very, very, very young girl. So, but all those people were so, all the people in Wonderland were so, I don't know. They just did their own thing. Yeah, yeah,
they did. Absurd. They literally did their own thing.
That's a really good way for it. Yeah.
And absolutely made no sense. Yeah.
Right.
But
I guess to a small child, a lot of the things that adults do
doesn't make sense.
Wouldn't make sense. So, yeah. So if you're thinking through, you know, you're seeing things through Alice's point of view, even the things that the adults did don't make sense. You know, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do this? It doesn't make sense, you know. Like the queen's protocols of how things worked, you know.
The etiquette and stuff,
the etiquette and stuff. Kids don't understand those. Yeah, so it looks ridiculous and, yeah.
Yeah, there's actually in the made-for-TV version from 1985, there's this scene where they have to cut this cake. And whenever they go to cut the cake in half, it like grows back together. I don't remember the point of that, but that always drove me crazy because...
Was that in the second half?
I think so.
Because I don't remember. Because
it was really frustrating, you know, to like, she literally like, they would cut it and zoop, back right before your eyes.
Oh, okay.
like
a hallucination. Bad. A bad trip.
I think that's something that they kind of missed out on in the movies was like... So the Disney one had some of those riddles and puzzles and stuff.
Yeah.
But the made-for-TV one just kind of, they like skipped all of that, I felt like. The book is full of that.
It's,
like, cause
it's
that's
been a long
one
time
the
since I saw
that
one, so I don't
Lewis
remember.
Lewis Carroll was like really known for, like in real life, you know, at parties and stuff, he would give riddles and stuff. And, like that's how he was entertaining to people. And in the book, there's a ton of those. To me, it seems like half the book is riddles and puzzles. And
Right.
Everyone, the absurdity is that everyone was speaking in riddles. And so I feel like that one is definitely, if we're comparing books, that one's a lot more challenging to read.
Oh, absolutely.
Than The Wizard of Oz, yeah.
But it was written, well, I mean, The Wizard of Oz was a story told by L. Frank Baum to, was it a niece? I think it was.
Or something like that.
Something like that. Who, whose name was Dorothy? Am I mistaken? It's been a long time since I read the story about him, but anyway, it was supposedly something that he was good at telling stories. He wasn't good at much else. He kind of flitted from one job to another. And at some point, he was a publisher, and he was telling stories, and so he wrote The Wizard of Oz for a little girl who may or may not have been ill. And then he carried on writing more stories. I read his biography many, many, many years ago, and it was not nearly as interesting as a made-for-television movie that came out in the 90s, I think, was it, Kristen? Called The Dream of Oz.
Yes, that was so good.
And it had John Ritter played L. Frank Baum. And it, you know, just kind of talked about his life and how he came up with the story. And it was really well done. And... It's really hard to find a copy of that, but it was good.
So, you know, speaking of like other stories and adaptations and stuff, because obviously there's like a ton of them with Alice in Wonderland with like Tim Burton. Those probably one of Amber's favorites.
I have not.
Right?
I have not seen that one.
You don't like
one.
Them? Not a fan.
I do not like the Tim Burton versions, and I definitely don't like the Tim Burton version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder all the way.
Yeah, I love Gene Wilder. Yeah,
yeah, he kind of makes like a weird Marilyn Manson, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah,
I don't know. I wasn't a big fan.
I
think
I mean,
once.
I do love Johnny Depp, but
that was really weird.
Mm-hmm. I just I couldn't get in it. Like, I just, I couldn't get in it at all.
Did you see the one that was, it was supposed to be the story of the Wizard of Oz, but I forget what it was called, but it had Franco.
Yeah,
James Franco.
Oh,
I forgot what it was called. But that was really
great
good.
And powerful, or yes, something like that.
That was really good. I like
that.
Now that
one was a good movie.
It was
that
pretty.
One was
okay,
pretty
I never saw
it
that one.
It was different. Like, it was like him coming to Oz, and it was all CGI. Like,
well,
literally,
no
the only
it was like him coming
in. The only
Oz,
thing
yeah.
in the movie were the people, like their bodies. That everything else was CGI.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Did you ever see, there was, I believe it was on Sci-Fi.
Oh, Tin Man.
Tin Man with Chloe Deschanel.
Now yes. that is.
Zoe Deschanel. Sorry.
We're talking about adaptations. That's probably my most favorite adaptation
I
of
never
Wizard
saw
of Oz.
That one, yes. but it looked really
oh,
good.
Oh, you didn't see it?
No.
That's probably.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, I never got to see that one.
I have it on
good.
DVD if you want to borrow it.
I might have to watch
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's really great.
So, have you ever seen The Matrix?
The Matrix?
Yes.
Well, yes.
He follows the white rabbit.
Yeah, Matrix is an adaptation of
Alice
Wizard of Oz.
Alice in Wonderland.
And so is Resident Evil.
Alice in Wonderland, not The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, wait, yeah.
Yeah.
Alice in Wonderland, yeah.
Yes.
Resident Evil is an adaptation of
yes.
Alice in Wonderland.
Wow.
So.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. The main character's name is Alice, and she goes down and follows the rabbit, I guess, down in the hole and has all of her adventures.
In the beehive or whatever
yeah,
it was
in the
called.
Beehive, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Crazy.
So I'm really excited about the Wicked movie.
Yes.
It looks
I wasn't,
really good.
But now I am.
Once you saw the preview,
yeah.
You were
once
like,
I saw
oh,
the preview,
yes.
I didn't understand the casting until I saw the preview, and I was like, okay.
I was
I'm down.
Worried when I heard that they were doing it. My fear was that it was going to be the musical, and I will tell you, from the moment that I heard they were making a musical of Wicked, I had already read the book. And my first thought was, that is such a sad story. How could
See,
they
I
make
thought
that
it
into
was
a, musical?
Be a musical? I thought the adaptation for the movie was going to be a musical, but it no,
but
it's the
not.
Book.
It's
yeah.
the book. It's the actual story from the
Somebody
book.
Somebody who actually read the book was like, I'm not going to let this continue.
I know. People need to know what the book really said.
Well, yeah,
right.
the book was so sad.
The movies, or that musical,
the musical
so,
was not sad.
It was, the musical wasn't even the
and
story.
And they changed the story. Like halfway
they
through,
completely
they were
changed
like,
the
Oh,
story.
Let's make it happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the musical was not sad at
I
all.
I love the
like
music
I,
from the musical.
Yeah, very great music.
And
actress.
Great acting.
Yeah,
great acting. But, yeah.
But, like, fans
Chenoweth
of the book
and,
probably wouldn't be fans of the musical. And, man, like, that book just, it was so sad. And, man, now I got to go back and reread it.
Yes, actually. Oh, so it comes out November 27th of 2024. So it's like right after my
birthday movie.
So we should totally go. Anyways,
maybe do a
all
oh,
the listeners
a
are like,
about
what
it?
About me?
That's no. right before our retreat, right?
Right. So I probably want to reread that book again.
Oh, I know.
Because I feel like I read it whenever I was probably like 24 or 25 or something like mm-hmm. that. And I was not as wise in the world then.
Right.
So I think I want to go back and read it again because, I mean, it made me cry. But
oh, yeah.
there was still stuff where I was just like, what?
What the heck happened
Yeah.
there? Yeah.
So now that I'm older, maybe.
Yeah, I know. There was some stuff in there. I was like,
the other books
did
either.
That just happen?
Son of a Witch is
Son
like,
of a Witch is
really I like
good
that
I
one
have
even
not
more.
Read any of the other books.
Yeah.
Yeah, Son of a Witch is so good. And I want to go back and read some of his other books, too, because
yeah.
he has Confessions of a Ugly Stepsister.
Yeah, I did read that
and,
one. That one's
and
pretty good.
What is that one? Did you got
Cowardly Lion? Oh, The Snow.
Oh, there is a Cowardly Lion.
Yeah, there
lion
is a Cowardly
one.
Lion and a Snow
and then
lot
there's
one.
Yeah. One
and an
a
elf
swan.
One.
Something about
a swan in winter or something.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Something like that.
I just I, saw
I haven't
that
read
one.
It. Haven't read it yet because I've been reading the Brené Brown book. So, but yeah, it's on my list.
Well, I don't know as much about the compare and contrast. I feel like we may have let the Wizard of Oz beat up Dorothy. Or not Dorothy. Alice.
Alice. Poor little Alice.
I know, yeah. So, you know, 3 for the Wizard of Oz and 0 for Alice in Wonderland, I guess.
Yeah, I mean.
We didn't have very compelling argument, I don't know, but.
I mean, I like both. Yeah. And, yeah. I do like the writing of Alice in Wonderland. Mm-hmm. Like, there are many things that I like about Alice in Wonderland, but Wizard of Oz and Return to Oz, those have always been some of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And Tim Burton just murdered Alice in Wonderland. That's all I have to say about that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank God he hasn't touched the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, knock on wood. Knock on wood.
Right.
Knock on wood. Oh, my goodness.
Just wait.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, see, that really surprises me because I know that you're both Tim Burton fans. So
if we want to do like a whole thing about Tim Burton, I can tell you all of his great movies. Those are not one of them.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so funny, though.
We have like, we did a, I did in college when I was in film school, we did a whole study on Tim Burton.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he has some really great movies, but I'm not a fan of what he did with Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and what he did with the Alice in Wonderland movies.
Okay. Do you think it's because he went so far off the track of what is, because it's such, the lore is so strong, you know, that he just kind of departed from.
Yes, on the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, he definitely, it was definitely like, you know, not your childhood's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And Johnny Depp was so oddly creepy and maniacal. And I'm such a fan of Gene Wilder. And then, I'm such a fan of the Oompa Loompas and the song and stuff like that.
Right.
And
yep, they're my favorite part.
He ruined that.
Okay.
In the movie, you know what? I've only seen the movie once because I didn't like
it. See, I haven't even seen. I have it, and like, I have it on my shelf in there, but I have never watched it because.
And the same with the Alice in Wonderland ones. I've only seen it once because I just now definitely I want to say on the Alice in Wonderland ones he. Tim Burton went like over and above, over the top, especially like on the characters and stuff. And it wasn't bad. Johnny Depp was a good Mad Hatter. It wasn't bad. It was kind of dark. It's just I wasn't a fan.
Okay.
Like the costumes were great and everything like that. It was just not something that I wanted to ever watch again. And I do love Tim Burton. I love Nightmare Before Christmas. I love Corpse Bride. I love Ed Wood. That's probably my favorite movie by him, Ed Wood. I love Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. Yeah. Edward Scissorhands.
Edward Scissorhands. Like, I love his more, like, gothic movies as opposed to when Coraline. He's trying to be a... Now,
I haven't seen Corpse Bride either.
Is there one?
Corpse Bride, yeah. And I love his more gothic movies as opposed to like him trying to be a little kiddie movie maker.
Right, right.
Oh, Beetlejuice. Well,
I don't think he's really.
Beetlejuice, yeah.
I don't think he's Batman. Really trying to. What?
The original Batman.
Batman.
Yeah.
See, those are all great movies.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that those movies are bad. I just don't ever want to see them again. You know, right, they're not my favorite Tim Burton movies.
Right.
Or Johnny Depp movies.
What are we talking about next week?
Next week, I am bringing you the topic of Gardner's 7 Intelligences. For those of you who don't know, this is a one psychological
point of view
that kind of addresses how everyone is has an intelligence, a certain amount of intelligence in different areas. And we'll talk about what those are. If you're kind of curious what those are, you'll have to tune in next week. But it's really interesting. And I think I subscribe to this idea. So that everybody has a bit of genius in them. We just have to find what it is, maybe. And so I'm looking forward to talking about that. And I'm looking forward to getting Amber's perspective as a teacher.
Okay.
You know, as an educator, if you see this as well. But I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be fun to talk about.
I'm looking forward to it.
Definitely, definitely.
All right. Well, we will wrap this episode up and we will catch you guys next week. But we want to thank Creative Audio Tech for our music and our equipment. And be sure to check us out on our Facebook group, MMC Chat, and of course our blogs and our website at modernmusing.net.
Yay. Yes.
Yes.
All right. So until next time, have a great one.
Adios.
Bye.